Let's get our Bibles. We're going to go to the Psalms today, chapter 95 in the Psalms today. And I trust there'll be something here for you to help you. I hope you're feeling grateful and thankful, amen, and glad for God's grace and goodness upon us all in so many ways, amen, and so many different ways that we just thank God for his goodness to us, and we certainly want to make that a habit and trying to focus on it this month. You can get grumpy next month, but it's Christmas. Don't do that. Amen. No, don't be grumpy any month. Amen. God is always good. We thank him for it. If you got Psalm 95 there and you're able, let's stand together for reading of, we'll read the first seven verses here today. Psalm 95, the Bible says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is also his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." And we'll stop right there. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of it, Lord. Thank you for the declarations we have right here today about you and about why we ought to be thankful to you. And Lord, just guide and direct us through this today, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. A lot of good things in here. In verse 3, I take note of, in verse 3, "For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods." That catches my attention. That's not what I'm preaching on today, but it catches my attention. He's a God of, well, let me say this. We already know the Bible says he's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. But here it says he's God of all gods. Now, that's interesting to me, but I tried to study that a little bit. It doesn't mean that there are other gods or lesser gods. Actually, the word gods there, little g, is kind of means mighty ones. And that could be in mankind or angelic beings, whether they're fallen angels or good angels or whatever. The point being, God, he is God. Amen. And there's none like unto him. So thank God. He deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. He deserves our thanksgiving. Amen. And I'm glad that you're here today to give the Lord that. I want to preach to you today on this thought, the reverence of thanksgiving. The reverence of thanksgiving. I think there ought to be some reverence about this and thanking God as we should. And I thank God, by the way, for America. Right there, amen. But I thank God for America having a Thanksgiving Day. You know, I understand 1789, George Washington made the proclamation for it, and I think he said November 26th annually. Abraham Lincoln later sort of revived that in 1863. And then in 1941, Congress just made it an official thing with the fourth Thursday of every November. I'm glad our country has such a thing. Amen. I'm glad our founders recognized the need for such a thing. And I know they were thinking about thanksgiving unto the God of the Bible. And I'm glad for that. And I believe that's the way it ought to be. Amen. But you know, God put it in the hearts of men to be thankful for before America came about, right? God put it in the hearts of men. I mean, we see it right here in the Psalm of David. God put it in the hearts of men even before David, to give thanks unto the Lord, to recognize that all good things that we have, or all things we have, everything, says here, he's the creator. He made us all. He made everything there is. And it only makes sense that we would be grateful to our maker, as it says here, as David says here in this psalm. So thank God. I always say that I think Thanksgiving is about the purest of all Christian holidays. And now, you say, well, how can that be? I mean, you got Easter. Well, you got Christmas with the coming of the Lord. You've got Easter with the resurrection of the Lord. But what I mean by it being the purest is that it seems to have the least invasions into it and alternatives to it. Y'all understand what I mean? A lot of our other Christian holidays, there's so many ways to go elsewhere and still celebrate Christmas or Easter, right? Y'all understand what I mean. But Thanksgiving, it doesn't have as much of that, but of all things, we deal with covetousness at Thanksgiving. The emphasis is on Black Friday. Go shopping. You know, go get something else. You don't have enough stuff to thank God for. Go get something else, right? And then I think the other thing that happens with Thanksgiving is sometimes it just gets rushed by and passed over, right? Halloween is a big thing now in society for some reason. And it's almost like you jump from that to start celebrating Christmas. And it's almost like, hey, wait a minute. Don't we have a Thanksgiving season in here somewhere? And the devil's clever to let us just rush by it. You know, Black Friday, and then they back it up into Thursday. And, you know, just don't spend much time thanking God. If you spend a lot of time thanking God, you just might get feeling happy or something like that. You know, we don't want that happening to you. We want you to be famished and need to go get something else. Amen, right? But it is a pure holiday, I do believe. But the truth of the matter is, if we don't know God, it's not much of a holiday. Amen. You know, it's always said about the atheist, you know, poor guy doesn't have anybody to thank when he feels happy about something, you know. So I'm glad we can say, thank you, Lord. Amen? We can say, thank you, God. So if you know the Lord, I think you can enjoy Thanksgiving that much more. You can be grateful to God. Now, this is a great psalm. It tells us how to do it. It says in verse 1 there, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. We've done some of that today. Amen. Let us make a joyful noise. Said that twice. Anybody made a joyful noise today in your singing? So we're all in there. Those who can sing, amen, you're in there. Those who can just make a noise, make it joyful. Amen, right? So at least make it pleasant and joyful, you know. But either way, you're lifting your voices unto the Lord, right? He says, with thanksgiving, right? So we come before the Lord. Aren't you glad we can come before the Lord? Aren't you glad it says He's not only a creator, but verse 1 says He's the rock of our salvation. He's the solid rock. We're not worried about our salvation. It's based on the eternality of our Savior, amen? And the solid rock promises of our Lord. So we don't worry about salvation. We don't worry about keeping it or losing it. We know that's in the hands of God. We just look to Him and put our trust in Him. And then it tells us about His strength. It tells us about how He made everything. It tells us about how the valleys and the hills are His. Did you know your highs and your lows are in the hands of God, is what I think verse 4 says. Your highs and lows are in the hands of God. Amen? You say, preacher, can I thank God when I'm in my lows and in my valleys? Absolutely. Maybe more so at a time like that. You need to, right? It'll lift your burdens, amen, to count your blessings in a time like that. So thank God what we have here. So it is a reverential scene. Come before Him and worship Him. It's reverence. So I want to talk about this Thanksgiving, the reverence of Thanksgiving. So just a few points today. Let's first of all talk about what we ought to do here. First of all, let's pray with Thanksgiving, number one. Let's pray with Thanksgiving. One of the main things we do when we come before the Lord, He said here, into His presence, is to pray, right? You probably have prayed today. You probably have asked God for something today, right? You probably have made a petition to the Lord today. You probably have asked God to do something that was on your heart today. You might have asked God a need that you have. You asked God about it. It might be a need that somebody else has that you're concerned for. You probably have prayed for the needs of America in recent days. No doubt I believe that you have. And we just come before the Lord into His presence, and we pray. And we ought to make those things to God. Now, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Aren't you glad, folks? That's an invitation to God. Come before His presence. He said, come boldly. Now, I always try to point out, I don't think going boldly before God means irreverently. We don't go in arrogantly. We don't go in boldly in that sense. But you go in like a child approaching their parents or their grandparents, and they can boldly make requests because the relationship is there, the relationship of love, the invitation is there. Amen. Aren't you glad for this? You can just boldly, you can just with confidence, that is, go before your Father in heaven. Make your request known unto God. You can pray and talk to God, and you're invited to do that. You're welcome to do that. As His child, you can do that. I'm glad that we can come before Him. So He says, come, come, let us sing unto the Lord. That's one thing we do. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But we know when we go before God, we're going to pray. We go before His throne to pray. But you know what? I think it's also commanded that we include thanksgiving. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, right? With thanksgiving. Give thankfulness unto God. Charles Spurgeon said on this chapter we're in right here, he said this presence that he's talking about, coming before the presence, is likely thinking about the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. But then he says, God is everywhere, but certain places men should enter in with the profoundest reverence. You think maybe church would be one of those places? You think maybe your prayer closet would be one of those places? Amen, right? And when we do draw near, let us remember His goodness. If we do not bless the Lord for what we already have, how can we reasonably look for more? Hey, let's don't just ask God for things. Let's remember to thank God for things that we have, right? I think he makes a very good point right there. Too often we might ask God for things while at the same time we're complaining about the things that we have. All guilty, amen? Y'all guilty on that? You done that? God, I want this, I want that, I want that. I might need this, but I want this, and I want that. But this thing over here I'm going to complain about. It's almost like it's not too far from us just saying, God, you got to do better next time. You've given me things, but I need better things. Boy, that'll get us right there if we think about it. Well, I've been complaining, Lord, you've given me things, but I don't like those things. I want this thing. We got to be careful about that. That's not reverence, is it? When we add gratefulness, when we add thanksgiving into that, we thank God for what we have and not demand what we want. We do expect what we need because He promised that, amen? But He not only said, just sit around and wait for it. He said, go to work and pray for it. You got to do your part too. Amen? But with reverence, we thank God for everything that He gives to us and, you know, all things, whatever they might be. So again, I think Thanksgiving is a very pure holiday. And God is deserving of reverential thanks. You know, we read the verses here, and it tells us He's the God of all gods. It tells us that He formed the dry land. He made the hills. He created us and all of these things. In verse 7, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. That right there is something to thank God for. Amen? Everybody, in a sense, is, you know, we're all made of God. Everybody says, well, everybody's a child of God. In the sense that we're created by God. Okay, I get that. But you only get into the fold as the sheep, and He's the shepherd, when you trust Christ as your Savior. Amen? Then you know you're really in His hands. Amen? And John 10 talks about that there as well. No man can pluck you out of His hand. Amen? And you were double clutched in the Lord's hand and in the Father's hand. And boy, what a wonderful place to be. I'm just saying, folks, let's pray. Let's go before the Lord and let's pray. Let's be reverential with it. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. Let's come boldly with confidence. Why? Because He tells us to do so and He gives us promises. It's not arrogant entitlement demands. It's not like that at all. But we pray with thanksgiving, and I think that keeps it balanced like it should, right? Now, can you just say, God, I don't like something? Yes, you can talk to God. You can tell God how you feel. God might put you in a valley. God might put you in a trial. God might put you into something like He did Job and others. And you might say, God, I don't really like it. But, Lord, I thank You for it because I know, Lord, You have a greater purpose. As we're just saying about, He knows better. Amen? And we'll understand it later on why God put us in it. You might say, God, right now, I don't enjoy trials. I don't enjoy storms. I don't enjoy sickness. I just don't like it. The Bible even says we don't enjoy these things. But we know that we trust the God who's in control of it. So our highs and our lows, we just thank God for all of it. We pray in the valley. Might do more praying in the valley. We pray on the hills. We look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. But with thanksgiving is what the Bible constantly or always oftentimes reminds us of. Verse 2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. So we pray with thanksgiving, all right? Number 2, let me say this. Number 2, let's praise with thanksgiving as well. We ought to praise God. We ought to come singing, amen? I like to sing. I didn't say I could sing. I said I like to sing, amen? I didn't say I can sing. I said I like to sing. And it might be a joyful noise. I like to make a joyful noise. Any of you like to make a joyful noise around the house just because it annoys everybody else in the house? Amen, right? You ever done that? Somebody would just sit around and make an annoying little noise. And you're like, would you stop? I'm enjoying it. Why aren't you enjoying my annoying little noise, right? You ever, anybody live with somebody like that? But that's not what it's talking about. Let me move on. Amen? It's not talking about that right there at all. But just a joyful noise, singing unto the Lord. When we sing, he says sing with psalms, and they did that in their worship, psalms and hymns, and we certainly sing with hymns. The model prayer that the Lord gave his disciples, it begins and ends with praise. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? And it ends talking about his glory, right? It's praising God. In the start and the end. So when we pray, we also praise. You pray, you ask, you confess. You ought to do that. You intercede for others, but you also praise God, right? You thank God, you worship God, you praise God. Singing. I like Christian music, by the way. It edifies the faith, your faith. It lifts up your soul, amen, the right kind of music. I tell you, a lot of music is going to bring you down spiritually. You know that. Good Christian music will lift you up spiritually. It'll get your mind on the Lord. Amen. It'll edify and build up your faith and your soul in so many ways. But you know, sometimes people don't want to sing in church. And you know, you almost got to wonder, is there a thankful heart there? You say, well, I don't sing in church because whatever it might be. I don't know. Make a joyful noise. Worship God, amen? But if I don't sing in church because I'm not a child of God, I'm just here for whatever reason, I don't know the Lord, that can be fixed, amen? I'm backslidden, I'm disobedient to God right now, I'm not grateful, I'm not thankful, therefore I'm not singing right now, I don't have a singing heart right now. I tell you, the Lord will give you a singing heart, amen, for Him. Why? Because it's praise and worship. Make a joyful noise unto God. Praise Him with thanksgiving. Here's an interesting point. Praise improves relationships. You know that? With God or anybody else. Everybody works better under the atmosphere of praise, right? Praise a person before you leave today and watch them smile. No, I don't care what age they are. Child, well, you know, if you praise a child, will they smile? Praise an adult. They'll smile too. You watch it. Oh, I don't enjoy compliments. Don't give me compliments. Try it on somebody today. Give them a little praise. We're selfish. We like attention. Amen? Right? It's just the truth. And we're made in the image of God who also loves to be praised. But remember, we already said from this psalm, He's the one who deserves to be praised. Right? But He doesn't. He wants to be praised. He tells us to praise Him. He commands us and instructs us to praise Him. But listen to this right here. Studies show this. Here's a question that was asked in a survey. Who do you most admire in life? People. We're talking about people right now, okay? But great spiritual answer, amen. The Lord, he said the Lord. But think about people. Who do you most admire in life? Now, in almost all cases, the person that was named as most admired, you know what their trait was? They were a person who consistently and constantly gave encouragement to that individual. Well, that says something to us, doesn't it? Amen. Think about that. Well, you know what? You can improve relationships with praise, obviously, right? But you know what? You can improve your relationship with God Almighty and your fellowship with Him if you praise with thanksgiving. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Worship the Lord. Come to church. Be in church singing unto the Lord. And it will improve your relationship and fellowship with God. Anybody else too. Right? We get that. Just don't let it become empty. Don't let it become insincere. Don't let it become meaningless. God knows. Amen. He knows our hearts. The latter part of this psalm, by the way, it changes gears. And it goes from instructing them about worship and praise to giving them warning about sticking with it. Right? And in verse 10, let me just look at this real quick. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Look, we don't fool God. He knows our ways, and He knows what's in our heart. Don't let your praise become monotonous. Don't let it become just singing the words on the screen, right? Just saying the words in the book. Let's think about them and praise God, amen, with thanksgiving, right? It'll bless your heart. It'll add to your worship experience, amen. Let's go to number three. Let's say this, number three. Let's present offerings with thanksgiving. Now, and the idea of this being perhaps coming before His presence in the Holy of Holies, obviously what was happening there was offerings were being made, sacrifices were being made, right? Israel made a lot of offerings and sacrifices, and they all had to do with what? Forgiveness and worship. Forgiveness from God and worship to God who gives forgiveness. Amen? Isn't that what we're doing today, folks? And ultimately, all of those sacrifices and all of those offerings pointed to the ultimate final sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Amen? Thank God. If we got anything to thank God for, number one is we're not like Israel. We're not bringing our goats and our lambs and our doves to church today. Amen. We're not sacrificing those on an altar. We're worshiping the Lamb of God, the Son of God, that made the final sacrifice on the cross. Amen. So we come before the Lord with our offerings today. You say, preacher, you're talking about the offering that I put in the plate? That's part of it. But the Bible says present your bodies a living sacrifice. Worship God with your whole life. Present yourself unto Him by faith, trusting Him to be your Savior and you be His child. As He talks about here as well, we are His people. We are the people of His pasture. And we present unto God. So as Israel presented offerings, you present offerings as well. When you sang this morning, you sent up an offering unto God. You sent up praise to God. You sent up offerings to God. If you gave your talent today in the service somehow, that was an offering. If you gave of your time today to come be here in church, that's an offering of your time. Amen. If you gave of your tithe or your treasure today in the offering plate like that, you're giving of your substance. By the way, we're giving back to God because He blesses and gives to us. Amen. And I think God deserves, the tithe is the Lord's, by the way. Don't keep that. That's His. Amen. But as we do it, we can say, as I told you last week, put it in the plate and say, much obliged. We're much obliged. We're obligated to thank God. Amen? And the Lord is so good to us. Present your offerings. Your time, your talent, your tithe, your treasure. And the Bible says that God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen? Let's give unto the Lord. Let's don't hold back on God. You can't outgive God. Amen? Present your offerings and say, thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm giving this back to you. By the way, he only laid out 10% as far as a minimum. The tithe is 10%. People say, yeah, but the New Testament doesn't say that. So we don't have to do that. No, the New Testament actually talks about generous giving. We just know 10% is the basis. Amen? It can go on up above that. Y'all with me today? Amen? You ever get those little receipts at the restaurant and look at the tip suggestions? You ever say, my goodness, I never even give my church that much. You know, I didn't give the Lord that much, you know. And, you got to make an adjustment there, you know. Give me the custom amount right there, right, you know. And then you do it according to service and all that, amen. But look, God, He gave it. He deserves it. He deserved all of it, amen. But thank God for it. And by the way, I said a lot of times it depends on service. Well, God's good all the time. Amen. He's good to us all the time. Thank God. Present offerings with thanksgiving, I'm saying. But let me give you a number four today. Let's proclaim the gospel with thanksgiving. Now, one of the things that I think we do when we come before the Lord and we sing, we make a joyful noise, we testify. But we know the New Testament teaches us not only to do those things in here, but to go out there and praise and lift up His name too. Amen? You know, we ought to proclaim His goodness in here, but we ought to go out into the highways and hedges outside of this place and proclaim the gospel with thanksgiving. What that means is, I'm saved, I'm glad I'm saved, I love being saved, and I think you need to be saved as well. You ought to be saved too. Amen? When's the last time we gave out a gospel tract and invite to church? When's the last time we tried to witness to a lost soul and let them know how good God is and how much they need Him? And how glad we are that we got it. They that gladly received the Lord were baptized, Acts chapter 2 says. They gladly received the Lord. They received the Lord. And when you receive the Lord, you get gladness. Amen? Are you glad you're saved today? Amen? Are you glad to be saved? Isn't it great to be saved? A preacher was asked to go witness to somebody. It was a kind of a relative of some Christian folks, and they didn't think he was saved. This is actually tonight's story, but I can't help it. Well, I'll say it again tonight. But so the preacher goes and he witnesses to this guy, and the guy knows because they've all his friends and family have witnessed to him. So the preacher has a little small talk, and the preacher says, "I got a question. Look. I'm just concerned. If something happened and you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven?" "Yes, absolutely." "Well, how do you know?" "I received Jesus as my Savior." "Okay, good. But here's the deal. The preacher knew he was lying to him. I've had some of these folks, right? You know what it was? I just want to get out of this conversation and I'll tell you what you want to hear." The preacher knew it. So before the preacher left, he said this. He just said to him, "I'll see you later, but isn't it good to be saved and sure of it?" For the next several weeks, that guy could not get away from that statement right there. Isn't it great? Isn't it great to be saved and sure of it? He knew he wasn't saved and he knew he wasn't sure about nothing. It haunted him. It bothered him. A few weeks later, he called the preacher up. He admitted that he was lying. He admitted, "I just wanted to get out of the conversation. But I've been bothered about it ever since." And he got saved. Amen? But isn't it great to be saved and sure of it, is what I'm saying right now. But you know what? There's a lot of folks out there, they may not want to hear it, but they need to hear it. And we need to go proclaim salvation with thanksgiving. Man, it's good to be saved. It is great to be saved. I want you to know it. I want you to know about it. We go proclaim that. Paul said, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa." Why? Because I get to tell my testimony to you. He took every opportunity. He said, I'm so happy that I can talk for myself and defend myself in this court setting. And what did he do? He told him how he got saved on the road to Damascus. Over and over again, Paul would take the opportunity to say, "I'm so happy that I can witness to you. I'm so happy." Isn't that what the angel said? It's good tidings of great joy. Glad tidings of great joy, right? It's good news is what the gospel means. Folks, we got it. They need it. They're hurting. They're sinking in the sands of sinfulness. And their lives are miserable. And they don't know what they're looking for. But you and I do. We have the gospel. We have Jesus. We need to be thankful for it, and we need to tell them about it. Proclaim it with thanksgiving, too. Amen? And, as if, hey, it is a good thing. It is the best thing. It's the best thing I've ever done. And they need to know, because, look, life is hard and miserable apart from salvation. Sometimes life is hard and miserable as a Christian. Can I say that? Y'all okay? Is that true? I mean, look at the life of the prophets, apostles, and Jesus. Amen? And so many Christians. Life on this earth is hard, and it can be miserable. And I don't always feel glad and saved. I don't know. I said it last week. Confession again. I don't always act saved, right? You say, preacher, you don't always act saved? Don't ask my family, amen, about that. Now, seriously, none of us do act glad and happy all the time. I saw something recently, a little video, where they asked some mechanics. They said, do you let your vehicle warm up before you drive it? And they all said, yes, absolutely. Some of them said, for several minutes I let it warm up. One of them even said it like this. Well, do you just jump out of the bed and get going and go for a run right away? You got to warm up too, right? And sometimes we do have to warm up like that. Amen. I forgot what I was doing there. But anyway, we got to warm up to some things. Amen. What was I saying? Okay, nobody knows. It doesn't matter. Amen. All right. So anyway, it's fine. I'll go back and look at it later and get it. Amen. Warming your car up. Yes. There you go, right there. Y'all learned something today. Amen. Didn't even mean to learn that one, but you learned something right there. Amen. Anyway, no, these people, though their lives are sinking in the sands of sinfulness, they're sinking in misery. And you and I are often like that. We don't feel... Am I back? Amen. We don't feel like we're on top of the world all the time. Amen. I got to get up and warm up. Amen. In the mornings, I don't go for a run right out of bed. I barely walk right out of bed. Amen. Right? We don't always feel it. But you know why to get it back? Thanksgiving. Lord, I don't feel real spiritual today. And you know I don't. I don't feel like praising today. You know what? That's the time you need to do some praising. I don't feel like praying today. That's the time you need to do some praying. I don't feel like reading my Bible or going to church. That's when you need to do it. Amen, right? Thank God. Sometimes you do just push through like that. But I tell you, I think if you praise God, you can get back to it. Tell people how good He is. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. I'm not ashamed to tell you what Jesus did in my life. I'm not ashamed to tell you that He changed my life. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I'm glad about it. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I worship Him and thank Him and grateful to Him. And I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Amen. And I'm glad about it. And I want to proclaim the good news to you with thanksgiving. Make it inviting. Amen. Right? Let's work on that. May God help us. So here today, we want to... Our prayer, our praise, our presenting of our offerings, our proclaiming of the gospel. We want to do all of that with reverential gratefulness, right? God is good. God is good. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. Come before His presence with reverence, if you will, as well. And again, it says here that whether you're on the hill or in the valley, your highs or your lows, God is right there with you. You're in the security of His hand in His pasture. We got things to thank God for. Amen? Praise God. Now it says He's worthy. He's worthy. It tells us here He's the Maker. He's the Creator. He's worthy of it all. He's the God of all gods. He's worthy. But here's the question. Are you and I in a position today to where we can praise Him with reverence? Now what I mean by that is, you got to be saved. Know we're a child of God. The only way you come boldly unto God to the throne of grace is to know you've got the invitation because you're His child. The only way you can really praise God for salvation is to know without a doubt that you have salvation. The only way that you can present your offerings unto the Lord is to know that God's given it to you and you're giving it back to Him as an act of worship. The only way that you can present the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ with reverence and thanksgiving is to be sure of it yourself, right? Are you in a position, I said earlier, one of the keys to thanksgiving is knowing that you know the one to whom ultimately all thanksgiving belongs. Do you belong to Him? Are you in a position to give that praise today? You might say, preacher, I'm not saved. You can get it straight. You say, preacher, I'm not I'm not where I ought to be with the Lord. Preacher, I'm backslidden. Preacher, I'm guilty because I'm holding on to some sin. I'm not praising God the way I should. Because the truth of the matter is, I can't get to praise because there's some confession I need to do and I hadn't done it yet. Are you in a position to have a wonderful Thanksgiving? To praise and to worship and to come before His presence with singing? If I'm under conviction or guilty about something I've said or done, I'm not coming before His presence with singing or joyful noises, right? I got to get there. Sometimes you got to confess things before you can intercede for somebody else. You got to confess things before you can present your petitions. And you definitely got to confess things before you can praise God for forgiveness and worship God. May the Lord help us today to get closer to Him. I already said, be saved and be glad of it. Amen? And what I tell you, this psalm says praise Him, and the latter part says basically, and stay true to it. That's the latter part. It's a warning then. All this good stuff, and then He says, hey, stick with it. Don't harden your heart, is what He says in the latter part. May God help us to get in a position spiritually to where we can do the things we talked about today. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me this morning, please? Dear Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for this emphasis You've given to us today. And Lord, even when we don't feel up to it, we don't feel like it, we know we ought to do it. You're deserving of it. But Lord, we know that if we draw nigh to You, You promised You'd draw nigh to us as well. Lord, I pray You would lift some spirits today, souls today. You'd lift some burdens today. You would lift some guilt today. Lord, wash it away under the blood. Maybe somebody here today needs to get saved. They need to become a child of God so they can praise You. Maybe they need to come back to You. Maybe, Lord, they need to put some burdens at Your feet so they can praise You about what You're going to do with them. Lord, meet the needs, whatever it might be, and I ask it in Jesus' name this morning. Let's stand to our feet. Altar's open. A little music plays. I urge you to come before the Lord this morning. Come before His presence this morning. You say, I can't come with thanksgiving or I can't come with singing right now, but if you'll come, He'll help you get there. If you'll come, He'll help you get to that point. He'll help you get into that position, that frame of heart and mind. If we'll come and bring it to the Lord today, whatever it might be. Amen, amen. You can look this way. I thank you for being here today. And God is good, amen. He's good to all of us. And let's go out this week and act like He's good to all of us, amen. And be grateful and thankful to the Lord. And I know there's a lot of troubles and there's a lot of trials, but let's try to be grateful to God. He's good all the time, amen. And let's proclaim that to others in this Thanksgiving season as well. Let's proclaim the gospel with thanksgiving while we present our offerings as well with thanksgiving. Amen. Do remember on the 24th, we have our praise and pie fellowship. That's our next thing really coming up.